Hey, thanks for joining us here on R&R 920 AM. It's the morning tailgate. Vinny Bunsen, your Clay Baker, and you, thank you so much for being with us. Hey, keep listening this hour. We'll give you a chance to win 4 tickets to see the Vegas Summer League. 4 tickets for any day of your choosing. While it's at the Thomas & Mack and Cox Pavilion, be listening around 940-ish, if you will, for your chance to win. And also, text the word pool, P-O-O-L, to 702-365-9200 so you can qualify for that 7-day Mexican cruise to Ensenada, Cabo, as well as Mazatlan, and $500 spending cash. Text the word pool, 702-365-9200.
So we all know that Michael Jordan was a... he liked to gamble. You know, he'd stay out late, you know, gambling.
Very competitive. Nights
before, extremely competitive.
Yeah.
And that's exactly the point I'm getting ready to make here. This is early in his career, and they're playing the Boston Celtics in a playoff round, right? And so they're in Boston, a writer from covering the Bulls for one of the Chicago papers, Danny Ainge, his counterpart with the Boston Celtics, and a writer from one of the Boston papers decide they're going to go play golf, you know, on one of the off days before, you know, the next game, right? So they go out and play. And at that point, Danny was probably just the better player, golf player, than Michael Jordan. May have changed since then. Although Danny Ainge was a hell of an athlete. He was drafted in baseball, mm-hmm. played for the Toronto Blue
Jays. Yeah.
Played with, obviously, the Boston Celtics, was a great athlete over at BYU. On this particular day, Danny Ainge is getting the best of Michael Jordan, and he's just talking crap the entire time. I mean, he's just getting after him, right? You know, as competitors will do. So he clearly wins the day. They drive Michael Jordan back to the team hotel there in Boston, and it's all four of them. And so they get to the hotel, they get up to the, you know, dropping him off. And Jordan said, okay, see you guys later. And he gets out, and he turns around. He comes back to the knocks on the back window where Danny Ainge's in the back seat. Knocks on the window. The window goes down. And Michael Jordan looks at Danny Ainge. He goes, tell your boy Dennis Johnson I'm gonna get like 60 off of him tomorrow.
DJ.
Okay. That's the game that he had. Like, he had over 50. I don't remember if it might have been in the 60s. But he was so pissed off at taking that from Danny Ainge all day that he was like, you just tell your guy, you just cost him like an embarrassing night.
Because no one's getting in front of me defend this.
He backed it up, man. He totally backed it up. And I'm sure Danny Ainge like, yeah, that's the last time I'm going to talk smack to Michael Jordan on the golf course, especially ahead of playing him in an important game.
You know what? There was a similar story about Brett Hull playing Michael Jordan on the night before or on the day of a game. And they were drinking, like, they went through a case of beer and all this stuff. And Hull was, like, towards the end, like, I am betting all I can get my money to my bookie against the Bulls tonight. Oh. And, of course, Michael Jordan just goes off and has, yeah. like, you know, 45 points for no good reason. And they go on and then smoke, like, you know, Milwaukee for like, 12 points. 702-365-9200.
What can you do if you're Phil Jackson? There's nothing you can do.
Well, it's like...
What are you going to do? Tell him not to? Like, he comes...
Oh, no. You smile. Yeah. You just let it go. You look at text and you both shake your head like, have we ever seen anything like this? And that's what happens.
If you watch the 30 for 30 on the New York Mets back in the, you know, the 86 team and that team, I mean, they were just straight hardcore partiers. And
I'm talking scum bunch.
I'm talking everything. Mm-hmm. Just use your imagination.
All of the above.
All of the above is being used. And they asked David Johnson to this day. And he's like, did you ever say anything about it? No. I didn't care.
Right?
They showed up and played. Like, I don't care. It's their life. They're, you know, as long as you show up to the park ready to play, that's all I care about. So I didn't care.
Hey, man, Davey said it right there in spring training.
I don't know if that's the right thing or the wrong thing.
Well, I would have to think, like, I'd look around the league and the teams that weren't doing that probably weren't very good.
Wow.
So the more you do, the better. But they had such a great mix of personalities. I wouldn't want to mess with that.
No, yeah. I guess we do live in different times. I think nowadays you should probably care if your star outfielder is doing lines.
Yeah. Nobody has personal trainers out there. They're like, right. They're just hoping you show up and you get to bed and you wake up in the morning and you're still in the same city. That would be good.
What did we say earlier? And we all survived, didn't we?
And we all survived.
We all survived.
Survive and adapt. That's the cruel fate of this world. You have to do it.
Handle your business. That's my dad used to always tell me that. You want to live a crazy lifestyle, you want to do, just make sure you show up to work and perform at a high level the next day. As long as you do that, there's nothing anybody really can say. The minute you start not handling your business, now you've got a problem.
I love it. 702-365-9200. This guy always shows up. It's Robert in San Jose. Robert, what's up, man? Good morning.
Good morning, Clay, Vinny. Great story, Vinny. I think that was the game that Jordan scored 63. And,
okay.
I think Larry Bird said he had saw God on in basketball short.
He certainly did. But, and he has Danny Ainge to blame.
Hey, exactly. What do you guys think of Josh Jacobs' comments on his way out the door? That really rubbed me the wrong way. I lost a little respect for him on that front. I don't know why there's some bitterness on his part. He got paid a good deal of money, but to be able to say that about your organization that drafted you and paid you, and you still have people on the team that you respect, his comments kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of it?
Yeah, I think that, I personally like Josh, and I know that he's probably hurt that it didn't all work out. You know, you're somebody that you feel like, hey, I gave my everything to this organization. They've told me that I'm one of the heartbeats of this team. And, you know, you have pride. You want to get paid accordingly or what you feel like you're worth, and that just didn't happen for Josh Jacobs. And so I'm sure there's a little bit of hurt in some of those words. I can't say that he would walk it back. I know Josh, when he says something, he means it and he stands on his business. So that is what it is. But the part about, hey, if you're going to ask me to kind of take a little bit of, not of a pay cut necessarily,
a discount,
which is part and parcel with running backs nowadays. So I don't think it was anything personal toward Josh. That's just sort of how teams view that position, and then come back with the and we're still going to lose. First of all, there's no guarantee you're still going to lose, and also I would say it was an odd time for him to say that, considering the year that he had. We'll never know what the reason was for his major fall off last year. Was it the offensive line? Was it the fact that he missed all of training camp and OTAs and mini camp the previous spring? What was it? We don't know, but what we do know is that he wasn't the same player production-wise that he was in 2023 compared to 2022. And you have to sometimes take a little bit of responsibility for that as well. It can't just be the offensive line, especially when Zamir White goes out and does his thing. So maybe for me, I think that based on the year that if he was coming off the year that he had come off in 2022, maybe there's more plausibility for what he said. But coming off that year, when you're talking about the losing, you were as big a part of it as anybody else, to be perfectly honest.
And that was my issue with his comments, is that, you missed all of training camp, you held out, you came out and you had a poor year. The guy to replace you came out and looked like an adequate replacement. You're going to talk stuff as you're on your way out the door, basically on a one-year deal with Green Bay.
Yeah.
It's not a good look for him. In regards to the top 10 quarterbacks, I think I've talked to you guys about this before. The way the media covers the NFL these days, old adage of defense wins championships apparently no longer applies to the NFL. And I think I said to you guys, kind of NBAization of the NFL, and I, love the NBA, lifelong Warriors fan. But even in the NBA, during those times that the Warriors were winning and dominating, they were the best defensive team.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just the Splash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They were the best defensive team. And it looks like nobody cares about whether or not your team can play defense, whether you have a good special team. It's just strictly about the quarterback.
Well, real quick. Here's where I disagree with that. Look at the New York Jets. Look at the who do we say had a top seven defense last year? Clay last year.
Well, the Jets definitely.
The Jets. Yeah. The Jets were a top,
but
top.
Only got 7 wins out of it.
Yeah, but there was somebody else that that was also had the 7th ranked defense, but they didn't have a quarterback.
Oh yeah, Tampa Bay. Well, there was
it was the Saints.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Saints actually. Yeah, the Saints and Tampa Bay had the 8th and 7th ranked defense overall.
Yeah. So here's where I fall on that is yes, I'm with you. You have to play. Look at the Chiefs defenses. Everyone sleeps on the Chiefs defenses. They've always been top 10, top 5, top 3 sometimes in these major runs. But you could also have a great defense like the Jets have had and you don't do squat because you don't have a good enough quarterback. So it kind of goes both ways, but I'm with you. I don't think there's anyone that knows football that doesn't recognize that you still have to stop people. You still have to have a really good defense to win at the highest levels in this league. And all the statistics usually bear that out.
Well, Vinny, I understand what you're saying in terms of the Saints and Tampa Bay and whatever.
The Jets.
But you can also point to the Jets. You can also point to a Dan Marino. He never won anything because he didn't have a defense.
Completely
Dan
agree.
South, who never won anything because he didn't have a defense. It goes both ways. You have to have a complete team, you know, and all this focus on the quarterback, I think takes away from the rest of the team. And I just, I'm thinking Aiden O'Connell's going to be okay, but I just love our defense. Mm-hmm. I love our special teams. I think those two things alone can equal 10 wins. You don't have to have Dan Marino or Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. It always helps. But if you have a great defense and great special teams, you can still get the job done. That's my point right there.
Yeah, nice, for sure. Robert. Real quick, you mentioned Josh and then you mentioned Zamir. What's your confidence level in the run game?
My confidence level in the run game is I like Zamir. I think he's going to do okay. But in my opinion, this all hinges the whole season on the offensive line. If you have great offensive line play, your quarterback's going to look good. Your skill players are going to look good. The Raiders have the talent at the skill positions if they get great offensive line play. And that's the only thing I'm going to be focused on during the preseason and training camp is reading how the offensive line looks. If we get great offensive line play, I think we're going to have a really good season.
Thank you, Robert. Excellent thought, man. Have a great day in San Jose. It's Robert in San Jose there, and we also see up on the text line 702-365-9200 a roll-off Raider from the 925. He says, for Brock Purdy, when we talk about top 10 quarterbacks, he says, yeah, top 15 for sure. Top receivers, tight end, running back, backed by a top 5 defense. He makes the throws he needs to. He doesn't lose them games. But there are other top quarterbacks that are doing more for their teams, just my opinion. Thank you, roll-off Raider, for that. Oh, no doubt. There are certain quarterbacks that have special skill sets. In comparison to like what does a Lamar Jackson do to help win your team versus a Brock Purdy? Different things, obviously. But I'm with you on that. Top 15, he has to be. But Brock Purdy eventually is going to break into a top 10 mold somewhere along the line.
I mean, he was a top 10 quarterback last year.
I mean,
the numbers showed that he was a top 10 quarterback. He led the league in passer rating. And again, that's not just a product of the system that he's in, because there's other quarterbacks that fell smack on their face in that same exact system with just as good talent around them at that quarterback position. So when I see, I can't unsee what I saw with other quarterbacks that were in there that were drafted higher than Brock. I can't unsee that, you know, and so it's, you can't sit here and convince me that, well, you just can plug anybody in there and they'll be they're just the product of no, that's not true at all.
It doesn't work that way.
Look,
not in the
Patriots.
NFL.
Look how they've, you know, they lose Tom Brady and what the hell happens?
Yeah, it all crumbles apart.
It does. And you can say, well, it's this reason, it's that reason. Well, he was pretty darn successful with the team that others inherited and didn't do really much with at all.
And it can be a little scary if you are an organization that's dealing with a lot of success. You think you have written down the formula for success, and it's not about one player. It's about the formula, and you stay with this paradigm. But yeah, philosophically, I could see where you'd be right. But in reality, when it finally has to go and you blow the whistle and you're out on the field, without Tom Brady, that formula meant nothing.
It's why, as we sit here right now, if we're realistically talking about Super Bowl contenders, who are we talking about? The Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Cincinnati Bengals with the healthy Joe Burrow. I'm gonna still put the Buffalo Bills in there.
Yeah, I will too, for sure.
You know, the San Francisco 49ers. I think the Rams are a sneaky Super Bowl contending team. And then who else? The Eagles?
Yeah, I'd probably be able to do it like Eagles / Cowboys. But it's kind of top-heavy in the NFC versus the AFC, where there's could be, you know, really maybe like double the amount of teams that could possibly go there because of great quarterback play.
Right, and we just, I think, how many of those teams that we just mentioned have a quarterback that's in that top 10 list, aside from the 49ers, who I would imagine that he was on the cusp. He had to have been. Brock Purdy must have been. I think they said that he was a honorable mention. And Jalen Hurts as well. Jalen Hurts has some re-catching back up to do, but I believe that he was not healthy, and I felt like there was a lot of dysfunction going on with that team last year, especially with the coordinators. But that aside, the teams that we just mentioned have those top 10 quarterbacks, on their team, aside from the 49ers, and I think they made a mistake not putting, him on there. And I guess, the Baltimore Ravens, you still have to be a team that you have to, look at. Are the Chargers? No, I wouldn't say right now.
No, I don't think the Chargers or the Jets, really. That's still like a prove it to me. I still need to be, still need to see it happen.
You can, I think, but I would you agree with this, that the Jets are more. The Jets are less. So like you can visualize the Jets. Oh yeah, with that defense and everything else, and you put a healthy. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that we need to see is a healthy Aaron Rodgers, right? But everything else, if it is a healthy Aaron Rodgers, no reason why this team shouldn't be knocking on the door. Whereas, I got to see a lot from the Chargers outside of their quarterback position. Like there's a lot that's going on there that I'm not talking them about them at all as a Super Bowl team. It's just more of that than. With Aaron, I think it's just, is he healthy and is he going to play 17 games? And are we talking about, the Aaron Rodgers that we saw last with the Green Bay Packers, which is a pretty darn good quarterback, or has he diminished in the 2 years really since we've seen him? So that goes to me with what your uncertainty is, and I agree with it.
You know, it's funny what the texter Roloff Raider had brought up about top 15, and I'm thinking in terms of for Aiden O'Connell, what would it take for him? To be, what kind of year would he have to have, and what were the things we would need to see in order for him to ascend up this list from where you're in the, in the 30 region or in the late 20s regions on most people's list? What would need to happen for him to get further? We'll go into that on the other side at 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200, and also up on X at RNR 920 AM.
Hey, we do this every day. Are you in a position where you need a little bit of cash right now? Maybe it's $500. Maybe it's even as much as $5,000, and you kind of needed it by tomorrow or yesterday. And maybe you're losing some sleep over that or worrying yourself about it because maybe the credit cards are maxed out or maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Please stop worrying. Because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Head over to LendingStore.com. Let them find you a lender that can help you get the $500 to $5,000 into your bank as early as tomorrow. For all the details, just go to LendingStore.com.
Oh, I think they embrace the competition. It's great. I mean, the best part about it, it's a friendly competition. And when I say friendly, we shake hands and kiss baby. When we go out there, we're trying to both be the guy. And you love to see that. And our team sees that. And I said this probably early on in offseason. When you have competition, some people see competition position as like, oh my God, we're scared. No, I love it. Because the rest of our team are looking at them. So what does everybody else on our team have to do? They have to compete. And what we now have is competition throughout our entire roster. There's competition in the running back room. That defensive line room, there's some boys in there. There's some grown men in there that can play football. Not going to be able to keep all of them. our linebacker room, our DBs. I mean, there's some guys here that's really seeing the competition at quarterback has risen the level of competition overall on our team.
Raiders Radio Network with the call, and Antonio Pierce coming back here on Raider Nation Radio as we're examining the ESPN top QB list written in by scouts, executives, coaches, and we're taking a look at some of the names, getting your thoughts as well up online at 702-365-9200, the text line and the phone number, same as we got earlier from KV, who says, normally I agree with you, but do you think that many professionals would have left Brock Purdy off this top 10 list because they were wrong? I like Purdy, and I think he's underrated, but the hesitancy is valid, in my opinion. I will say Hurts not being in the 10 is egregious, and Stroud might be a little bit overrated for just 1 year, but let me ask you both, did you see from your eye test Purdy look better than Stroud last season?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I did, yeah. Especially when they were playing in the playoffs.
Right. When he wasn't perfect, there were a couple of games where, you know, he threw some interceptions, but obviously rallied his team and helped them win. He made some big-time throws in that comeback against the Detroit Lions. Just rewatched that game the other day. Made a huge run.
The run is what was just a thing of beauty that just broke their back.
Yeah, he led the league in passer rating. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the Reds. There's just a lot to like about his game. So I think, and I love C.J. Stroud, but I don't feel like I have to make a big argument to say that from what I saw that Brock Purdy was every bit as good as C.J. Stroud. Yes, I do believe that.
What do you think about Aiden O'Connell? What does he need to do to not saying like he's got to go and win everybody over to make a top 10 list on something like this next year, but what does he need to do to actually go and find his way to the middle, to the maybe the top 15?
Well, I think that the completion percentage needs to get better. It was 62%. That's just not good enough. Mm-hmm. So I would say, I know it's a tall task, but 65 to 67% of his completions. He wasn't particularly sharp on third downs, and he wasn't particularly sharp in the red zone. He was in the low, like the lower half of the 20s in both of those areas. That needs to get better. What was it, 13 touchdowns and 7 interceptions? I don't know if you have the stats.
12 TDs, 7 picks.
12 TDs, 7 picks. You over the court, and again, that was 10 starts, I think, that he made overall. Mm-hmm. Including the second game, or that game against the Chargers where he had to step in for an injured Jimmy Garoppolo. For him to take that next step, you'd like to see that number be 25-9, right? I mean, that's I don't think that's necessarily unrealistic, especially with the weapons that he has. So he needs to increase the touchdowns. If he could get that to 25-9 in the second year, that's a major step. So 65 to 67% of his completing percentage of his passes, over 3,000 yards passing.
Okay.
Better numbers in the red zone, better numbers on third downs, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and that's for me over the course of a 17-game schedule.
I would like to see those red zone numbers definitely improve. Mm-hmm. I would love to see, for somebody who has such great ball placement, that completion percentage should be higher. Just in the fact that I don't need you to keep checking down to Jalen Richard and, getting those kind of numbers. I'm talking about, like, going down deep and attacking the mismatches downfield. And I get excited, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way in Raider Nation, watching Devontae and the receiver series on Netflix, that, if he continues to have, like, that kind of, like, feeling about Aiden O'Connell, and especially the direction of where the team is going, it just seems like this offense could be a monster if it's not going to think about it, like, look like it right now in preseason. But by the time the season hits, this could be very good. Just if you're able to go and find Devontae Adams, see, having the kind of weapons can make your numbers look fantastic. If you can start hitting Devontae Adams in the red zone, I think you're going to do well. But I think if you're starting to make up all the other good things that we don't know about with Brock Bowers, and Brock Bowers could be the key to helping a quarterback like Aiden O'Connell get that much further.
Yeah, and to strengthen our argument about Brock Purdy, I don't know if you have a second while I'm talking, if you could call up his rookie numbers, Brock Purdy.
Oh, Purdy, yeah.
Yeah. So if you look at the 49ers' weapons last year, the year before, could you make a case that the Raiders' weapons are like last year were, you know, similar, I guess. I don't know.
I would say like on par. Like they're not like, you know, I wouldn't say if they were below, they wouldn't be below by much.
Right.
Yeah. With like, let's say just break it down like Devontae, Jacoby Myers versus Debo and Ayuk.
Right. And also Kittle.
Kittle.
So, you know, that. So what, but just out of curiosity, what were Brock's stats when he, you know, his rookie year? When
yeah, the rookie year in 9 games, 5 starts, he was 5-0, and it was 67.5 completion percentage, and the touchdown to interception ratio was 13-4.
What was it last year?
And last year it was 69.4 completion percentage, 31 touches, 11 picks.
Right. So, and I would say that this year with Brock Bowers and I think Michael Mayer taking another step forward and Trey Tucker mm-hmm. and the run game this year, those you know the weapons around let's just say it is Aiden O'Connell as a quarterback are even better now this year, and they're closer to what the 49ers have, if not in some cases, perhaps a little bit better. Right. So if you're telling me that Brock Purdy is just a product of his system, you know, you're telling me that you could take just anyone, not just anyone, you know what I'm saying, an sure. NFL caliber quarterback, and they can produce those kind of numbers.
Well, Purdy's backup is Josh Dobbs. So we could put Josh Dobbs in there and run the show?
Do you feel like Aiden O'Connell could go in there and do that? Did he show enough last year?
Oof.
No, like
he just didn't, you know.
you just quoted Brock Purdy's statistics. Look at what happened when Brock Purdy went out against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, everything came apart.
Right, they weren't not even close to being the same team, and they
even to just run the ball, it was just scanty production. They couldn't get what they wanted.
Right, that's you just told me that he completed almost 70% of his passes last year. You know, he had way more touchdowns than interceptions. His completion percentage was great. The numbers in the red zone and on third down were really good. So, he is a talented quarterback, and I don't expect Aiden O'Connell to be that quarterback. But I do think that he has it in him, and we'll see if he does or if he doesn't, to be better than he was last year. And he has to be better than he was last year. You can't just pick up where you left off last year and stay that level of quarterback. Because we talked about, think about the difference between completing 62% of your passes and the 69% of passes that Brock Purdy completed. When you're getting the ball to great weapons at a 70% clip, you mean you're doing your job, man. That is what your job is, to deliver the ball to your weapons. Then they take over and do their thing after that. But, you know, rule number one, objective number one is to get them the ball. And sometimes, you know, not just throwing it up to them so they could go make a spectacular catch, but getting the ball to them in stride. So now all of a sudden they do their thing with the ball and everybody's better off for it. So I'm not sitting here saying, Aiden, you have to have a year like Brock Purdy had, but I do want to say that there's a difference between those two quarterbacks so far, anyway, in just sheer level of play. But for Aiden, and really for Gardner Minshew too, you have to increase those numbers, especially that completion percentage, because if you start getting the ball to these weapons at a higher rate, then those weapons are going to go do their thing.
I think last year was such an incomplete year because you have a change at coaching,
sure.
and there's all
for
sorts
sure.
of turmoil going on, and it's very rough for a rookie to make his debut in that. However, I think there's some parts in place now that are going to help. Some continuity in the fact that having a guy like Scott Turner there as a passing game coordinator, Norv Turner's son, still on the staff with Antonio Pierce, and he talked about how certain weapons on this team are going to help the quarterback's numbers and help this team win.
You know, when you're talking about the pass game in general, my experience, like the guys that get open, they settle the quarterback down, you know. So regardless of their position, I know that there's a lot to be said about, you know, the tight end being a, you know, security blanket for the quarterback. And that's true. And I think a lot of that's because a lot of times those passes can be closer to the line of scrimmage, so they're not as far downfield, and they're bigger bodies, so they can be easier to throw to. But, you know, I've been in, you know, situations before we had where like a running back was kind of a security blanket because he'd always get open on option routes. And so, you know, you'd get an easy completion, you know. And you know, that can be true at a lot of different positions. But those are two really good players. They're going to find ways to get open, and that helps.
Tight ends could help a quarterback like this. But he's just not any other tight end. It's Brock Bowers, somebody right. that can blow the lid off the defense. He can go deep. He can stretch it. But he's also going to be lining up in many different spots, and not only just at tight end, slot receiver, fullback. He can do so many different things.
Yeah. Look at C.J. Stroud's numbers. 64% of his passes completed percentage. I think that's going to improve with C.J. Stroud. But then you look at the 23 touchdowns to 5 interceptions.
Hey, whoa, that's accuracy.
You know what I'm saying? So again, when you're talking about Aiden O'Connell taking that next step and what he needs to do, you'd like to see that kind of a that kind of a ratio. I don't know if he's going to go 23-5, but if he could go 25-7, 25-9, maybe that would be a huge improvement for him.
Raider KO from calls it up the text line 702-365-9200 from the 415, bringing an idea here. If Aiden is a starter and gets to a top 15 ranking, is that enough to say we have our quarterback? And just from watching receiver, will that keep Davante Adams here?
I don't know.
Those are two difficult questions.
you know, first question first. I don't know. If you feel like top 15, that's he's got a long way to go to get to top 15. Mm-hmm. You know, he was 27, 28 last year. Can he get to top 15? We'll see. You know, everybody wishes the best for him without question. But that would be a pretty tall step in that direction.
Yeah, like last year, a power ranking for 15 for quarterback was like Trevor Lawrence.
Listen.
All right. So
yes.
Yeah.
Let's go back to what we were talking to Andy about, Andy Phillips. The Rams moved on from Jared Goff when they had an opportunity to do better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they gave up first round picks. They felt like they had a quarterback that was taking them to the playoffs. They had a quarterback that helped them get to the Super Bowl, that helped them turn that whole program around. But they felt like need to do better.
Still need to do better, and
there's an opportunity to do better. That's what changed that whole dynamic, because guys like Matthew Stafford just don't always become available the way he did. It took a whole kind of weird set of circumstances. A, Matthew Stafford saying, I want to go someplace where I have a better chance to win. The Detroit Lions being open to that. They didn't have to move him.
And having the philosophy of blank them picks.
Right. For sure. And the irony of that is the Rams, over those years that they didn't have all those first-round picks, had the second-most picks in the NFL.
Compensatories,
trades that got them other draft picks back. That's an argument for another conversation. But so if you're telling me that the Rams would be willing to make that kind of a move, thinking that they can get incrementally better with Matthew Stafford over Jared Goff, and they feel that incremental improvement could be the difference between them winning a Super Bowl or not, then hell yes. That even if Aiden O'Connell is a top 15 quarterback, and there's a chance to get a Dak Prescott who... we looked at, he was number 10 on this list last year going into last season. He was number 7 going into last season. So it's not like this was a one-year wonder at all with Dak Prescott. He's been a heck of a quarterback for a while now. So if you're telling me there's an opportunity to get not just incrementally better, but maybe significantly better, by going down that road, yes, you have to be. That's what every year we would talk to Mike Mayock about every position and starting with quarterback. And he always, always reiterated every job is open, including quarterback. If there's a chance to get better at that position, we will explore getting. Now, it never came to pass, but a lot of that is just opportunity or who is available or where you're drafting and all that good stuff and what the cost would have been to try to get better. But if you're not in a constant state of, we need to get better, then you're not doing your job. And especially when it comes to the quarterback position, and especially when you're saying it's a top 15 quarterback in a league of 32 teams, that means that there's 15 other quarterbacks that are better and some that are significantly better. And if there's an opportunity to get your hands on one of those or a young prospect that could be one of those, you do it every single time.
Case in point with the Raiders, you know, Derek Carr was quite often a top 15 quarterback right there in the middle. That means average.
Right.
Raiders still felt like with money that needs to be spent, got to get better than average.
Right. We mentioned that they had the Saints, and this is not, I'm not throwing Derek under the bus whatsoever. But with a top seven defense, the averageness of his play resulted in a 9-win season. And then really that kind of took a little rally toward sort of toward the end. So 9 wins, are you telling me that's, is that what you really want? Is that what the goal is? 9-10, kind of knocking on the, maybe getting in a wild card, maybe winning a bad division every once in a while. No, that's not the goal. That's not the objective.
Yeah, it's an excellent question, Kevin, from the 415. Like, I don't think you would find, like, this is our guy, even if he measured up to a top 15 quarterback.
Yeah,
and, I think you'd still be wondering, all right, we're happy with this, but can we get better?
Is there a scenario, and I this is something that I think about sometimes when I go to sleep, as somebody that covers this team, is there a scenario, a realistic scenario that the Raiders go into next offseason not looking to maybe improve at quarterback?
I don't know.
I would have to say there's always going to be a looking at what is available out there to get better.
And this is within the realm of possibility, and with Aiden O'Connell's in within his power, unless he just shreds it this year and just definitively says, no, that's a position you could close up for right now. Go fix other spots on the roster. Go, you know, we're good at quarterback. And here's the thing, Clay. I think we'll know that if we see it. Yes, I am leaving room open for that possibility, whenever the season ends, at whatever point it ends, where everyone that's covering the Raiders or anyone that's working for the Raiders making those decisions, I think there is a scenario out there where, nope, Aiden O'Connell's the guy moving forward. We're good with that. We're ready to march in the future. We're going to build around him. But I also think that there's a strong possibility that that won't be the case. And you just have to be honest about it.
Yeah, you have to be honest about it, especially when you hear the words of Antonio Pierce. There's a vision and there's urgency. And everybody knows how urgent he was to try to move up to get Jaden Daniels in the draft. That urgency doesn't go away. We'll take a break and give you a chance to win these tickets. 4 tickets to the Vegas Summer League. Good any day. Now through the 22nd, over at the Thomas & Mack and Cox Pavilion, you can get your tickets at unlvtickets.com, but I got 4 for you right now. Bring the family. It's going to be amazing. 702-365-9200. Caller 9 gets the Vegas Summer League tickets, thoughtfully provided by The Morning Tailgate.
It's back to The Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Oh, out to the text line we go to wrap up this show. Thank you so much for texting 702-365-9200. Congratulations to William and Drew, today's winners for Monster Jam, as well as Vegas Summer League tickets. From the text line, El Paso Raider checking in. What's up, El Paso? He says, that was the issue with the Raiders, and why are we in this mess? Because when you have Derek Carr, Gruden failed to draft his replacement or even try to bring in competition. So if you have a way to improve from a top 10 to 15 quarterback to a top 5, you pull that trigger. You pass up a lot of quarterbacks with draft ammunition in hand, and because of that, they were scared to hurt some feelings. Thank you, El Paso, for that. Well, that's the thing. Like, even under the Gruden era, there was never any competition to push Derek, you know, out of a spot where you kind of felt like we're getting average return at this position.
Yeah, they just never, and they were just never willing or able, I guess, to make that move, you know, whether it was, you know, they didn't want to mess with his psyche by bringing in his potential replacement or somebody that was going to legitimately push him. When you look at the quarterbacks that they brought in as his backups, it was never really anybody of note, you know, or significance. And they never, you know, took advantage of trying to move up in the draft to draft a superior, you know, prospect. I think I would have at some point, you know. I came in here eyes wide open in 2019, you know, all right, because I hadn't really paid that much attention to the Raiders. I just didn't. And, you know, I think it was pretty clear after a certain period of time, me watching them, okay, I think the Raiders should try to do better at quarterback. And, you know, at some point, you know, you just have to do that. You have to be open-minded to doing that, even if it means, you know, it might be a year or two where there's going to be a process finding that guy.
Yeah, because you can keep trying to, like, find the right offensive line mix, better weapons to throw to, when you realize that this isn't going to work out. Thank you all so much for listening. Catch us up on our podcast page at lvsportsnetwork.com. In fact, download the app, LV Sports Network. It's free, Apple Store and Google Play. You can stream all day on your iPhone and Android. Have a great day, everyone.
BTO is back.